moved here from Arizona about half a year ago. I am originally born in Taiwan, like many of you. I have the fob shot to prove it. It's under two layers of clothing, but I will show you later if you ask nicely. But yeah, I was born in Taiwan and moved to Nogales, Arizona at the age of three. If you don't know Nogales, it's a city that sits on the border of Arizona and Mexico. My dad worked in Mexico, so we moved there. A year after that, they realized, you know what? Nogales is kind of a bad city. It's kind of dangerous. People dying all the time. We should probably move a little further away. So we moved to Tucson, and that's where I grew up. If you're not familiar with Tucson, it's famous for University of Arizona. Go Wildcats. Whoa, surprising amount of animosity towards a school that I bet hardly any of you know. Yeah, so grew up, it's famous for the Wildcats, Mexican food, and not much else. City of about 1 million people, and so we grew up there, and that's where actually I started going to church. So actually, my story is my dad, actually, when I grew up, was not a Christian, but my mom was. So she'd been in Christian her whole life, and so when we moved to the United States, she brought me to church with her. And for me, church growing up was a place where I got to hang out with this other kid. Not that many Asians, so it was me and this other guy. And we hung out and we'd build paper airplanes and in a room and we'd throw them around. And that was church for about the first year or two that I was there. The close friend of mine, as it turns out, I did not know his name for the first year that we knew each other. It was just kind of like, hey, what's up, dude? And then we'd hang out and we'd play. And it was just like the two of us. They didn't have like a children's program or anything like that. It was a really small church. And so as you kind of grow up and you start to better understand, you know, what church is about, why we have the things that we do, why we believe, why we're there to begin with, as someone who grows up in church, and I think many of you can relate to, you start to grow those foundational understandings of what Christianity is. But truth be told, I think for a lot of us, we get so used to it, get so accustomed to it, it's almost just like doctrine that we subscribe to and say, all right, that's great, and we go on Sundays and we do our thing. So I was baptized pretty young, when I was about 10, 11, 12 years old. I don't really remember exactly. And then, you know, as is most things, you say, I'm a Christian, and you go through school. I think what was really transformative for me, for finally kind of understanding what being a Christian was, when I finally went to college away from home. So my first 2 years of college, I was at the University of Arizona. And eventually, I transferred to a little better school. I'm sure you guys are huge fans. Cal Berkeley. Go Bears! Yeah. I know, I thought there'd be more hatred for that. But I like that there's a couple of Cal Bear fans. And so when I transferred there, I joined a college fellowship there called Crossroads. And that's when I... You know, that's when you're away from home, you're away from the influence of your parents, you're not going out of obligation, you're going because this is something that you feel like doing. I think that's when you first start to realize, why is it that I'm here? You know, why is it that I wake up on Sunday, college student, the last thing you want to do is get up Sunday? Why is it that I wake up Sunday mornings and go here? Why is it that we do Bible study? Why is it that these words and this person, Jesus, why is it that he's so important to me? And I think through that process, being able to really voluntarily decide for myself what exactly it is that I believe in, what it is that gives my life purpose, that really gives me that foundation for being, it was all established in college because I chose, you know, this huge array of options for you to believe in, right? And I do encourage a lot of you guys, you know, when you're young or even when you're old, to discover the full spectrum of the different religious ideals that are out there, because I think it really should solidify your own belief in Christianity being the right one. So I grew throughout college, you know, served a lot in college, graduated, went back to Arizona and I worked. And then after that, after 2 years of working, I decided to quit my job and move to China. At the time, it was actually to work for my parents who run a factory in the southern part of China. And so I thought this would be a good opportunity to go overseas and you know, improve my language skills and really see what business in Asia is all about. And so just to get you a picture of what working in China is, it's not Shanghai. It's not Beijing. It's not some top 50 tier one city. This was a suburb of a suburb of a industrial town. All right, this is a place where people walk on the streets. You know, four-way intersections don't have signs, no stoplights. Roads just kind of go and then just stop. It's just all of a sudden it's dirt. And then if you go a little bit further, the road continues again. The public buses, you got people hanging out of them. I mean, this is rural China, right? And this is where your iPhones get made, right? And I sound kind of cynical. And Apple is one of my customers, right? So I go to their factory all the time. And it's like you guys got to be so thankful for these 16-year-old kids who are making those iPhones for you. But I was a part of that machine. We ran a factory. There were definitely, a lot of people on there working hard every single day. But I think for me, that experience transformed me in two ways, right? And one, you really get to see the different types of people that are out there and the struggles that they go through. But secondly is you don't realize how quickly you can fall away from God in an environment that isn't necessarily welcoming, right? So, and it's a very gradual fall, right? It's slowly, 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 slowly. So when I finally came back to the United States for business school, and I finally came back to a church, I think that was like stage two of my walk with God. And so, it's pretty late in life, right? It's late 20s. And I got to go, for me, the best part of that whole experience was when I got to go to a apologetics conference. And for those of you who haven't had a chance to go, apologetics is, I would say, defending the faith. Is my quick summary. And that was the true light bulb, right? Because it's all the questions that you've ever had, that you've ever wondered about. Why it is that, why is there suffering? Why is there good versus evil? And, all these things. And even stuff like, where are the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah located? And all these just existential questions about what it is that we believe in. Apologetics can serve to answer that. And so for those that are intellectually curious, it just completely strikes a chord. But for me, the biggest one was the question of creator versus creation. Right, scientifically speaking, do we believe in creating creation? I think, just to boil it down, for me, the reason that I believe is that the world is too complex, right? You think about us as people, think about, animals, the things around us, trees and plants, and you think about, as you go further into biology, you think about cells, and you think about DNA, you think about molecules, and you think about all the flukiness that has to happen for all this to come together. Someone had to do that, intelligent design, creation. There had to be an intelligent creator. And so for me, that was the thing that I believe that the world is complex. It didn't just happen. I think the analogy was that, like, if you really believe that all these things just randomly came together and life was created, it would be as if, like, you believe that a monkey randomly punching letters on a keyboard can somehow write the greatest novel ever. Like, just imagine just a monkey punching random keyboards and somehow he'd been punching keys for a million years and a brilliant novel came out. It was silly. The thought that would randomly happen to me was silly, and I thought there had to be a creator. And knowing that there was a creator, then I just had to figure out what was the creator, who was this person that I believed in. And to me, that was God, the Christian God, the one God that we believe in, God that has a relationship with us, where it's not just a religion, something that you subscribe to, but it was a relationship. And that was the difference maker for me. And I think a lot of it was formulated throughout that time. So, in a nutshell, that's how I came to really, really know God deeply and truly, and how I feel like I'm comfortable defending my faith in front of my friends, families, people that are skeptical, and everyone around. So hopefully that answers a little bit of my journey. I think one of the questions is what I hope to do at Canaan. And so, in the past, I would say, I always joke around to people, in the past 10 years, 10 to 12 years, I've moved every single year somewhere. Not necessarily in a different city, but I moved every single year, like 10 addresses in my history. So I see my time as Canaan as being, important, because you never know how much time you have. May and I, when we came here, we never wanted to wait. Be like, hey, we're just going to settle in, see how things go. Maybe like half a year from now, I might do something. Maybe someone will, drag me out of the crowd and make me do something. It was more like, we don't know how much time we have here. A year ago, we were still living in a new house that we'd bought, that we'd waited half a year to go into, and the year before that, we were living in a totally different place. The year before that, we were still in L.A., May was in Arizona, right? So who knows where we are a year from now? So for us, it was more like, we come here, and we know this is a community, we know God has called us here, let's serve, let's make a difference. Let's make a difference in the lives of everyone here and everyone around us that we can. What I'm called to do is hopefully just do the things that I'm, to be honest, not comfortable doing. That's where we grow the most. And I always joke around with May, like, man, I'm not ready for kids. So maybe it's going to be something in children's. I don't know, right? But it's. I think we've told ourselves, if someone extends that olive branch and says, come help out right here, we really should not, the answer should be yes, whatever that is, right? And I may regret live to regret these words yet. But I think for us, that was the thought, right? Don't wait. Don't hesitate. figure out where the gaps are, figure out where the need is, you know, and be willing to step up into that fold. And, you know, hats off to May. You know, I think she loves worship, and we've been grateful that she's been given the opportunity to serve a lot there, and we hope that that continues. But I think ultimately it's a lot of stuff that we'd love to do is, you know, it's whatever God is calling, God is willing. Sound good? All right. Any questions? When did we get married? June 16th, 2012. We got married in Los Angeles. Yeah, I know it's June 16th for sure. Yeah, 2012. The day after I graduated, I missed my graduation for the wedding, actually. Yeah, it was actually when it was the day after, but we were so busy with the rehearsal and things, I had to miss my graduation. Yeah, we were married in LA a little over 2 years ago. Good question. Thank you. Any other questions? Arizona, is it always hot? Good question. I mean, it's warm. In the winters, it's actually much colder than here, right? The desert. So where we grew up in the winters, you would get frost. It would be, you know, the low 30s. But yes, in the summers, it is warm. It is hot. It is uncomfortable. And if you don't have a pool, you know someone that has a pool. Everyone has a pool, yeah. I remember that. And so I grew up in Tucson, so it wasn't that bad. So Tucson, we do have some fluctuations. I lived several years in Phoenix. And Phoenix, basically, there's like a stretch in the summer where pretty much for a month, 2 months, it doesn't get below 90 degrees. Even like at midnight, 3 a.m., doesn't get below 90. So you just kind of live with it, right? You play basketball outdoors, 100 degrees, you dehydrate like crazy, you live with it, right? It's 110, 115 outside. It's fun. It's good times. It builds character. Built character. It's cheap to live there, guys. That's my pitch. Cost of living. You can buy a house for super cheap. That's true. More space to clean. Yeah. Any other questions? Questions? Ooh. Okay, first of all, I suggested this question to you in jest. I haven't properly thought about it. But in the 10 seconds that I've just thought about it, it would have to be a velociraptor. Yeah, I know, right? I know. Who's seen Jurassic Park? Oh my gosh. No, hold on. I don't believe that. Who's seen Jurassic Park? That breaks my heart. Are we getting old that I throw that movie out there and a lot of people have seen it? Okay. Okay, so in Jurassic Park, the movie, they basically, the premise is they build a park and they grow dinosaurs, right, from frogs, whatever, it's crazy. And they take frog DNA and they make dinosaurs. And so they make all kinds of dinosaurs, but the crafty ones are these tiny, well, they're not tiny, but tiny by dinosaur standards, called velociraptors. And they're supposed to be super intelligent, very, you know, agile, athletic. But they're really known for just being vicious killers and having this massive claw that just, like, guts people. And so I've always thought they're pretty cool. I would use other words that are not necessarily safe for church consumption, but I would be velociraptor. All right. Good question. Any other questions? Yes. If I could have any superpower... At some point, I feel like someone would have asked me this at like some work event or something, like a classic icebreaker. Again, I was not prepared for that. So, in the 10 seconds that I have, I think I'd want to fly. Now, I'll probably like, man, after I get off the stage, I'll be like, I wish I had like Wolverine claws or something. But for now, I'm going to go with, I think I want to fly. And for obvious reasons, right? I mean, tickets are expensive. You can go places super fast. It's probably beautiful up there. I would love to be able to fly. Yeah. Hopefully I'm strong enough to fly at least someone else with me so that I can take May with me there, right? Because otherwise it's kind of, yeah, it's super, super romantic. Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly. Good question. I'm going to stick with that answer. Oh, interesting. Question was, am I who I want to be or who I dreamed to be when I was younger, now that I'm quote-unquote grown up? First of all, you're assuming that I've grown up, right? I would like to put that off as long as I can. So when I was young, I do remember allegedly I said, according to my parents, that I wanted to be a garbage collector. I don't remember ever saying this, but my parents repeated back to me that I said when I was young I wanted to be a garbage collector. And I think it's because there was a time, I think in Asia they play like the music or something like that. Like in Taiwan they play the music, and I was like enticed by the music, and so I wanted to be that. So to that effect, I haven't really accomplished that. And then I think there's a phase where I wanted to be an astronaut. But I have really bad eyes, so I think that was like off the chart pretty darn quick. And then when I kind of grew up a little bit later, I just got really into computers. So I kind of wanted to be an engineer. And I guess I sort of did that for a few years until I realized, wait a minute, I'm actually not very good at this. that was going to Berkeley and humbling myself and realizing there's so many people way smarter than me. So I did that for a few years, and I kind of didn't really want to do that anymore. So now I mean, for those of you who don't know, I work at Google. I guess I work on cars at Google. So to that effect, you know, I've always loved cars. So I would say I'm fortunate enough to be doing something I love to do today. May not be necessarily what I had thought of when I was younger, but it's fun. Yeah, the self-driving car. So if you ever see the cars that drive themselves around, I work on the self-driving car. Huh? Yeah, blame me when, yeah, the cars take over.
Thank you. I have to...
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Ming. I am...